And if you'll notice who the Corinthians got their letter from and who it was written to, all saints in every place that call on the name of the Lord. And he's given them an understanding here how long, so that you come behind them no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, well, that's not until. We gave him until. That wasn't good enough for him. We gave him a waiting, and that's not good enough for him. You must have forgot, because he didn't deal with top side or bottom side during this time of waiting. But it got all involved in this time period, And I don't understand why it keeps going back to this time period. And Jesus was crucified, and the blood, and all. We'll deal with all that. But I'm telling my opponent, that is a moot point. He's going through all that so he can erroneously say true prophets were taken out of the church. It does not teach true prophets. I showed you Thursday night. I'll show you again this afternoon. It was talking about false prophets. And since it's talking about false prophets, it doesn't matter all these other points that he's trying to pick up. We'll talk about that a little more. During the time of waiting for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. You talk about trying to get apples for oranges. You talk about getting something out of context. What are you talking about? 18. We go from apples to oranges, to chicken to hamburgers, to bread. Now we're eating ice cream. We didn't come here to eat anything but the word, good word of God. And if you take a lot of this ideology and just put it away, like he's trying to put the prophets away, like he's trying to put the gifts away, and get into the word of God, and away from all this ideology, why don't we carry the context? If we're going to use an example, let's use an example like we are supposed to use it. What about eating ice cream, waiting for the train? That sounds good. At this point, we're good. Might have taken 10 minutes to eat ice cream. Might have took 15 minutes. But the train might have come in 2 minutes. He might have got on that train, eaten his ice cream cone, and ordered another when he got on the train. But why don't we use it like it's supposed to be used? Like the gift we're talking about. Had you come behind us in the ice cream? Waiting for the coming of the train, but you're going to have plenty, you're going to have all it takes, you're not going to lack any ice cream, waiting on the coming of the train. This is going to use an example. Why don't you at least get in the book and use it like the scripture says, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift. Let's quit eating ice cream, and let's start eating the good word of God. What you say? Amen. And in every place, call upon the name of God. Did you notice that? He didn't say until the complete Bible was written. Waiting for the book to be written. He said that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of the Lord. I submit to you that I showed you Thursday night. He said, I wasn't apples to apples. Because if I go to 1 Corinthians 13 and I say, this is a gift and this is the coming of the Lord, because he wants to say, seemingly, that what the gifts are for is the revealing only of the New Testament, it sounds like to me. I don't have any problem with revelation gifts. I've just got problems with Pat not liking them in the church. Paul liked them in the church. I'm going to show you how much he did like them in the church before I came to it. But he talked about these gifts, and then he just said that which is perfect is the coming of the Lord and the usher of the kingdom, or anything other than what he wants it to be, which is the complete New Testament. We've got an apple and an orange. I send it to you. And he told us, that you come behind in your apples, and you're waiting for your angels. He put the gifts and the coming of the Lord in the same context, and we got our fruit. The next thing that we're saying, please take the fruit of the Spirit out of the church. Number two. Out I tell you that the gifts and the calling of God can never be withdrawn. The gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. They are without repentance. And he got up here and tried to make a little weak argument because I said something about first moving away. Let me tell you, God's always qualified. Even the gift of his salvation with first moving away. I don't say my faith is eternal security and live any old way and do any old thing. And you're still saved and you're still going to heaven. Be like the devil, just like the devil. Trust and trust. Adulterate and fornicate and do every kind of thing you want to. And you still got the gift of eternal life. Go back to the context. He's talking about the Jews. And he's talking about the Gentiles. The gifts and the calling of God. How do we fit both of us? The Jews were called. They had gifts of God, obviously. That's what the Old Testament scriptures come through. We come in a little bit later in the scene. Maybe we want to have to debate some of that. But we are Gentiles. We're not a Gentile church. We're Jews because no longer is the Jew an outward but inward, and circumcision is that of the head. And we were grafted in to the root and the fabric of the stump, and they were cut off. How is the distant coming of God irrevocable? I'm going to tell you through the scriptures that you should have. They're cut off, but if they'll get out of their unbelief, and they'll get right with God, and they'll come back to me, I'll grasp them back in, because the distant coming of God are irrevocable. So, the sandcastles. What he's going to try to build has just been washed away by the precious, anointed, inspired Word of God. That is a gift unto his church, and it's going to reach his church. And I thank God for what God is working in you in the church. He talked about the book of Zechariah. I think it's really good. Really so what do you do? And I thought, we've been in there a long, long time. Mother, right? So you get an understanding that he wants to talk about this time period? He wants to talk about, yes, this thing about the fountain. Yes, that is the blood of Jesus Christ, that precious blood of Jesus Christ. This is a gift that God has given to the church. That blood that God has given and purchased the church with. Yes, God is so kind. All of those things that he's talking about, the powder seal, laying out the silver, and that's all fine and well, but that's not going to debate. I don't even know what kind of proof he's trying to make. Until he proves that those prophets were true prophets. He was an avatar. You can forget about, I'm not even trying to argue with him or debate with him about any of the rest of it. He's got a problem with his prophet. Don't try to do something different until you prove this point about the prophet. Joseph and I, we need to read the map. If we were going to get somewhere, we'd end up in the wrong place. We'd end up in the wrong places. And let's go to the map and read the map and see where we need to go. That's got a problem with Zechariah 13. He's got a serious problem. Because the other night, when he got up here and he didn't try to accuse me, and apologize for it, and I'm not trying to pick a sword or anything like that, but he tried to accuse me of saying or insinuating that every time this word prophet was used, it was taught false prophets. I showed you on the screen that I put it up there and said, folks, we can be either one. The only way we know the difference in all those contexts that I gave, you remember that when you were there, was the spirit, whether it was right or wrong, clean or unclean, and when it was the true God, or the first God, the idols. I submit to Zechariah 13 as the first God, as the first prophet, as the first or unclean spirit. Let's keep everything in context, because a text out of context is a pretext, and that's all we've had. He said, Michael, you're wrong, because you're trying to insinuate that every time this word is used, it's a false prophet, and then he showed us that Jesus was a prophet. That's the truth. Because of his truth, he just put your Savior out of the church. He went through all this time talking about you. This is the Messiah's time, the Messiah's season. He said he's working with all this. And he's putting the prophets out of the church. Let me tell you, he is the apostle and high priest of our salvation. He is the apostle like of the prophet like in the Moses. Don't put him out of the church. We want him in the church. Stay with the apostles and keep reading right there. There is no way. He said, well, you know, how can you figure? Because there's still false prophets around. The next verse starts talking about false prophets. You start talking about false prophets. It was already talking about false prophets the verse before. How can there still be false prophets today? How can there still be idols? How can there still be unclean spirits? He said, because he wasn't talking about the earth. So we got the two prophets out of the church, but we still got them in the earth. That's his reason. Got the idols out of the church, still got them in the earth. I submit to you, we don't have all the idols out of church. I proved that point just the other night. Somewhere in the middle, he didn't even touch top side and the bottom side. He said back and deal. He said we're coming from the Corinthian church. He thinks he's got all the idols. He thinks he's got all the unclean spirits out of the church full of schism and the deism within the kind of unclean fornication. He went to the realm of incest. And oh, we got a good church. That doesn't have any idols. I'm telling you, until Jesus comes, the church will be fighting sin. There must be heresy among you. That comes our food. Might be made manifest. We'll be fighting sin. We'll be fighting unclean spirits. We'll be fighting idolatry. And we'll be fighting, yes, false prophets. But thank God for the true prophets that are still in the fight. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. He's trying to make a point. If I can get this prophet out of here, this true prophet out of here, then I have all the good stuff. You don't know such a thing. Not good grammar, but it makes me think. If I can get this true prophet out of here, I'll send it. Then I get all these good stuff. I'm telling you, you take the prophet out, you still don't have the prophecy out. You still have them. Prove your point. If you can do it, you can do it. I'm not going to let you do it. I'm going to defend this truth until Jesus comes. But if you could, you still don't have prophecy out of the church. It will come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters. You don't have to be no prophets in the church now, Pat. This is a revelation in the New Testament. We're going to have women preachers in our church now, Pat. Can we have women preachers with the New Testament law on my servants and on my handmaidens? Will I pour out of my spirit? Time just goes by too fast, so I put up those charts and I'll show you every one of those examples. How can you have it out in the spirit? Why did you say in the scripture that Saul took the riches out of Israel and he still went down there to Israel and said, I want you to call up Samuel for me? I submit to you, you can look all through the Word of God and find times to revive it again and again and again. As God cleaned up the land, as God cleaned up the church, as God cleaned up the people, it didn't mean that there was nothing to ever be said again, or it couldn't come back, or it couldn't backslide again. And this doesn't mean anything. Read the simplicity of the Word of God. Why try to say something that's not in there? There's idolatry in the church. Covetousness, which is idolatry. I take this Bible and say you. When the man of God said, put the idols away, they got to jerking the earrings off. They got to jerking the rings off. You got enough jewelry in some churches, enough idols. Get away the false gods from among you. Get the jewelry out of your church. Get the perversion out of your church. Get the false idols. Get the covetousness. Get the bad foolishness out of the church. Kind of has to lead to another lesson. Some of you found the other scriptures. I was hung up there. And just wrote it down. I've been thinking again and again and again. Don't show me the map. And I just discovered in Alexander Campbell. Did he come up with this fear? Is she the one that decided this is the lady that had to be a dead, lifeless church without a move of God? No, no, no. 1,000 times. Let's go talking about
how long this lasted, how long the, it don't matter how long you were arrested. You don't have three prophets coming out of the church in the cap or in the future of that stand to you. It's only a function this year of the same dilemma that you were each when you started Thursday night. We got past the limo. It's not a pleasure. It's explained, but he just can't prove it because he doesn't have Bible. The best of us, we have three religions from the scripture. That's the gifts are in the scripture and the gifts are in the story. But yet, I'll give up that point. No pun intended. Just up here in size, the top up is a running story and a function of speaker eyes in the name of the Lord. We will have to touch this blood with the sword of the Spirit and the good word of God and say that cannot be, that should not be, and that will not be. We are here to defend God's sake. This is a rebellious people, a lying children, children that will not hear the Lord. They say to the prophets, to the seer, see not, to the prophets prophesy not into the flat things, speak into the few things, prophesy the truth, give you out of way, turn aside out of prayer, cause the Holy One is here to cease from before us. Are we going to put God out of the church by paying anything? All prophets, if we're going to be consistent, all prophets, all apostles, includes the Lord Jesus Christ in the same time period, whatever he's trying to point out to prove. If we're going to be consistent, it's not going to be any prophecy. We got many, many prophesying. We got four bodies still prophesying. We got other men prophesying. We can't figure out what this time period is. One time it's an ascension. We got prayer, an ordinal. Next time maybe 50 years after we get to Christ. And he said tonight, let's just say this for 125 years. What's he trying to do? He's trying to get it up, and maybe he can finish complete time.